Sounds True presents Producer's Pick, a podcast dedicated to bringing you compelling, captivating, and intriguing selections from our programs. This week's episode, Building Discomfort Resilience, comes from the audio program Making Friends with Your Mind with author Pema Chodron. Recorded live at a weekend retreat at Omega Institute, this program was edited by Sounds True producer Mitchell Klute. Here is what Mitchell had to say about this week's producer's pick.
I always love editing Ani Pema's talks because her kindness and heartfelt connection come through in everything she says, and Making Friends with Your Mind is no exception. Exploring the three qualities of our fundamental nature, openness, open awareness, and warmth, here Pema looks at how our habitual patterns and habits of mind can obscure these natural qualities. But it's possible for each of us to access this fundamental nature, she says, not just in situations where we're calm and happy to begin with, but even when we're triggered or in the grip of a difficult emotion. This willingness to sit with challenging feelings, which Pema calls building discomfort resilience, is something we often resist because we're afraid to accept these difficult emotions within ourselves. Yet it's actually the key to happiness. In my own experience, this willingness to stay present is the doorway to deeper wisdom, one which includes everything we are and everything we feel.
You can download this entire program, Making Friends with Your Mind, at SoundsTrue.com. And now our producer's pick, Building Discomfort Resilience with Pema Chodron.
So we've been talking about openness and open awareness and warmth. The three qualities of our fundamental nature, we can live in a way to uncover these qualities. You see, usually, human beings like ourselves live in a way that keeps covering over these qualities because of our bhakchak, our habitual patterns. And it's certainly not our intention to live in a way that makes us unhappy. It's just that we are extremely stupid about the causes of happiness and the root of happiness. So I've referred a lot, and it's kind of a favorite theme of mine, about developing the capacity for our nervous system to get used to unpleasant. And I've started to use a term, which I realize I haven't used this weekend, but discomfort resilience. Developing discomfort resilience. So since it's so counter-habitual to touch unpleasantness, it takes, it's a gradual process, of getting used to, of becoming familiar with, opening, as we say, to whatever arises. And it's the unpleasant part, the painful part, the insecurity part, the uncertainty part, the distasteful part that we are not accustomed to being open to. But these three qualities, living in a way to uncover these, they provide the support or the container or the atmosphere that allows us to become more and more fearless about embracing all of our experience. But it really takes time. And I think all these teachings and things would be like, you know, you could brand them and make a lot of money with workshops where you did A, B, C, and then you got the results fast. But it isn't like that, you know. Trungpa Rinpoche used to say that it was like walking from San Francisco to New York rather than flying in an airplane. It took a long time, but you really knew the territory well. Let's use the analogy of like doing prostrations across the country from from San Francisco to New York. That would really take a long time. But you would really know the terrain well. Every rock. You'd know California rocks and all the Midwestern rocks and getting closer to the East Coast rocks and you know, the different kinds of soil. So it's like that. Gradual unfolding. But as I said before, I like the term slow but sure. Because fast is exciting for a while and exhilarating for a while, and then it kind of wears out. It's like the honeymoon is over. I mean, that's my experience anyway. So anything that supports you in connecting with the open awareness, anything that supports you in balancing the open-ended, fresh quality with the warmth. Because a number of you talked about fear of that unlimited openness, how it takes you over and frightens you. And the answer I gave, I think, was about balancing it with warmth, that somehow things get out of balance. And I'm honestly not sure if that's the right answer. But it's my current best guess, I guess you could say. But find out for yourself, you know, what brings you into balance with these three qualities. Openness, you know, is sometimes called emptiness. In the Buddhist teachings, there's a lot of teachings on emptiness. And that word alone can sometimes terrify people. So I usually don't use it, the E word. But really, it doesn't mean being cast out into, like, you know, taken up into outer space and then thrown out of the space capsule or something, you know, and floating away for all eternity. It means, at least my experience is, it means perceiving. That means seeing and smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, hearing, without labels. Just perception without conceptual overlay, without the labels. I think I've mentioned in past teachings that I once did a retreat where we spent a lot of time outside, and one of the things I did was just spend 3 days looking at a tree. And you go through a lot, you know. If I see this tree for another moment. But what happened with all of us, actually, was that you really began to have a real sense of the individuality and uniqueness, preciousness, and the experience of this tree unlabeled, no preconceptions. And it wasn't that you call it tree and then that somehow you don't really have an experience of it as a living, real, magical presentation, you know, something that you're seeing. So that was an experience, really, of emptiness, of perceiving the tree in all its fullness, but without my views and opinions about it, or my preconceptions, without labels. So it's said in the Buddha's teachings, and for years this sounds so philosophical to me, but now it so speaks so clearly to me, that things are just as they are, and then we impute good and bad and meaning to them that they inherently don't really have. So for instance, family members came up quite often in this weekend as subjects. And that's always the case. And we know that our family members impute a lot of meaning onto us, and we impute a lot of fixed ideas onto them as well. But actually, inherently, like that experience I talked about where I, in one situation, I was a feeble old lady, and in the other situation, I was a revered Buddhist teacher, and I got to the point where it was so clear that I was actually neither, you know, in terms of fixed identity, that I was a fluid, always in process, always in process. And so it is, of course, for all of us and for everything. And then we have this tendency of the confused mind is to reify things, concretized, pin it down and say, just have a fixed view.